This is exactly right.
Dive into Hulu's chilling new original series, Under the Bridge.
It's a riveting adaptation of the true crime novel written by acclaimed author Rebecca Godfrey.
Based on shocking real-life events, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a 14-year-old girl whose plan to meet up with friends ends in her shocking murder.
When an unlikely group of suspects emerge, a novelist and a detective race to solve the sinister crime.
This spellbinding series goes deep into a hidden subculture, revealing a small town's darkest secrets. Starring Emmy nominee Riley Keough and Oscar nominee Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays only on Hulu.
Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Allman-Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it doesn't matter if you're ready, Steven.
As we berate, like the real us is just berating Steven.
Steven includes a 7-second just me reaming him before the episode starts.
It's like a, what's it called? When you're a hostage and you're like trying to send a message to the outside world.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like all Stockholm Syndrome at this point.
Yeah, that's right. Steven has really bad Stockholm Syndrome. Evil.
We are.
Starting now.
Karen!
Welcome to My Favorite Murder.
Karen! Karen, I'm just going to yell your name. Karen!
Georgia!
Karen!
Georgia, we started the podcast.
Karen.
How do you feel so far?
Oh, fuck, I can't stop. I'm great. How are you? so bad.
I don't know if you've ever asked me how I was like that.
How are
my
you?
Face. How are you really?
How are you?
Let's have a moment of vulnerability. I feel a lot of anxiety about, so many things. you know that weird Wednesday feeling? We're recording this on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Will we get it up in time?
You
know, job stuff. I drink too much coffee all day.
Oh, you did.
Am I drinking too much Diet Coke to the point where I'm killing myself?
How many do you drink?
Diet Coke?
Yeah.
Oh, it's only like 23 a day.
I like that every episode now you have to admit, like you have to confess something you do that's like, cause you had told us you smoked cigarettes last time.
I mean, very rarely. It's not like, okay. I wouldn't call that, it's not a thing. It's just, that's like my secret sneak away once in a while.
I think you're in denial.
I know. What's your big reveal?
Oh, what's a good one? What's a good one?
What's a fun one?
I have adult acne.
Okay.
Well, that sucks.
I can relate to that.
Yeah, I don't like that. That's about it.
That's all you're willing to
no,
give?
No, I mean, my life is a fucking open. I have nothing that I hide.
I feel like that's, I think people can, it helps people lock in to our humanity.
Yeah.
When we're just sitting here going, you know.
Gross, disgusting, horrible humanity.
Check out this hideousness.
And they have a make it a podcast.
Gross. It better be a podcast. Yeah. I don't want to look at it. we're getting a lot of, is very enjoyable. And of course, feeding the ego. A lot of people are doing like fan art picture.
Yes.
Things of us, which the thing, the thing I enjoy the most.
Yeah.
Is they always give me a huge nose. I don't think I have a huge nose.
Do they? You don't have a huge nose.
I think I have a pretty buttony nose.
You have a cute little button nose.
I mean, thank you. I just wanted you to say that.
I've noticed, yeah, I have a large jaw in them, which I actually have an undersized jaw, hence my Invisalign.
That's right.
But thank you.
But you know what?
But thank you.
We're the most ungrateful assholes of all time.
Really
here, we have a couple notes.
Can you draw us better, please?
Draw me. My nose a lot smaller.
Listen, if you want to make it onto Instagram.com/myfavoritemurder, you got to draw us true to life.
There are some really good ones of us. Really awesome drawings.
Yes.
Where like you look at it and go, oh my God, this looks like we have a comic book.
Yeah.
Which is super cool. Yes. So thank you so much.
You're fucking backpedaling so hard right now.
I know. I'm embarrassed.
Don't be. Go to the Instagram and you'll see a bunch of the, like, we post that shit.
We post all of them. We post everything that we see and find that you guys send us. And
I love it all.
A lot of people made us new logos that say the Fuck Word Murder Mystery Show, which love and appreciate.
That was
That was good times.
Yeah.
And also, I just wanted to mention on the Twitter page, we got a quote, a million shout outs from Sweden. These guys who have a podcast called the Power Meeting Podcast sent us a tweet that said a million shout outs from Sweden, which I didn't know until I read it that that's all I've ever wanted in my life.
That's so sweet.
A million shout outs from Sweden.
Also, Australia loves us.
Fuck yeah, Australia. We were number five in Australia.
That's amazing. That's a big place, right?
They must not be about accuracy down there, because I feel like everything I've ever said about Australia on this podcast has been deeply wrong.
Well, we did an Australian murder once, so maybe that's why.
Oh, that's right.
They like love us for doing that. Because there's some good ones there.
There are some amazing ones. Yours was, it was the son who washed his clothes before he did anything.
Yeah, he murdered. He went on a paper route, murdered his fucking family, blamed his dad, washed his clothes.
Or was that New Zealand?
Fuck. No, I think it was Australia.
Watch the numbers plummet.
Oh my God.
Why did I even bring this up?
I don't know. I brought it up.
Oh, okay. This is all your fault.
What else do you want to say?
Harmontown.
Oh,
it's the 28th. I don't know if it's sold out or not, but we might as well give it a plug. Dan Harmon has a live podcast, and we get to be the guests this coming Sunday.
Yeah. So if you can't come, just excited. Listen to it, because it's going to be a good episode.
Yeah. It'll be an upcomer on a Feral Audio podcast exclusive.
Mm-hmm. And then, we did the Dollop Live 200th episode podcast, and you can listen to that.
Oh, that's right. And it was super fun.
Oh my God. It was amazing.
It was really good.
It was great just to sit between all of you guys. We're so fucking funny. And just like, I said, and I really felt this at the time, that I was going to laugh my Botox out. Like, I was laughing so hard, I thought I was going to break my Botox.
Well, Dave and Gareth have this weird combination going where it's like Dave says the fact and then Gareth acts it out, and it's so amazing that I just wanted to sit there quietly and let them do it, because I'm genuinely a fan of what they do. But I felt like, you know, of course, as a comic, I have to nudge my way into everything.
Right. No, it was so good.
It was super fun. Oh, also, we got a tweet from Glitter Pizza 91, God bless your heart, that said, why not at the end of every murder, why don't you ring a gong? Which I read out of context, just read as a random tweet, and it made me laugh very hard. Then I understood, I saw a bunch of other tweets that said, what's that noise? What's that creepy, spooky noise that we keep hearing? And it was, Steven set us up with these awesome
mic stands.
Yeah, they look like what you see, like, real radio people using. So we don't have to, like, touch our mics and make noise anymore. But what we did was we touched the mic stands, and we were making the springs.
Because I can't sit still.
Right? Is that super loud?
That's it.
It's perfect.
Okay. Yeah, the sound.
Listen, I have ADD, I think.
Right.
At least that's what my psychiatrist tells me.
Okay.
I can't fucking sit still. I want to move around.
I know.
But it's, you know, I'm going to sacrifice that for the podcast.
Well, we really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm going to speak for everybody.
Thank you.
And myself.
You have a button nose.
Thank you. And two eyes made out of coal.
Let's see. I changed our Patreon page, and I'm not going to shill or anything, but I'm going to be posting on the blog in there some Hometown Murders.
Great.
That we are not going to read in our minisodes, just for whatever reason. So go there and look at them.
Okay.
I think it's free.
You pay money to look at them, though, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the whole idea of a Patreon?
Yeah. You can give us like $1 a month or whatever the fuck you feel like.
We heard tell that we might, that our podcasting network might be setting us up with a person who knows about stuff like this.
Totally.
So we don't have to do it by ourselves anymore.
Yeah.
And dude, when that comes together.
Beautiful.
Watch how we take over the internet.
Man. We also had we just ended our last t-shirt sales, and we are giving half the money to endthebacklog.org.
Nice. How much is that?
Do I say? Because what if it's like, that's not, what if they're like that?
Well, it was just a 1 month sale,
true.
Right?
We're sending $2,000 to endthebacklog.org.
That's a lot of money.
That's great, right?
That's good. I don't know. More than they fucking had before.
I got so freaked out when I posted like, hey, we're going to give 50% to End the Backlog. Because I expected people, this is the opposite of what happened, but I expected people to be like, only 50%? you're being so greedy. And then all these people are like, that's so incredible. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I've just being hard on myself.
Yes. I mean, I think it's just weird to be in this position where you can actually put something out, have people buy it, and then actually give money. Yeah. That's like a neat, cool thing. But also, we've never done it before.
Right.
So everything feels wrong and bad and weird.
Yeah. Well, on the Patreon, I put that people, well, maybe we can have like votes for like what the next shirt design is going to be. Or also people can vote on what the next charity that we give money to will be.
I wouldn't do that second one. I mean.
Ones we pick, and then they can vote off them.
Oh, right.
It's not like the KKK or anything.
Great. That's all I'm looking for.
NAMBLA.
I can't have this, please donate to white supremacist groups anymore. I don't want it.
Yeah.
And I can't.
You've given them so much of your money, Karen, already.
How dare you? I give them dime after dime so they can buy their robes.
Oh, man. Those robes are not cheap.
No. It's all silk. That's the one place they don't skimp.
Are they silk? No.
Please.
They're not.
I'm just thinking of like, oh, brother, where art thou?
Oh, yeah.
They seemed really nice.
Do you have any other housekeeping?
I don't think so.
Is there anything else that you love right now? Well, anything going on in the news? We know JonBenet's brother is getting... Oh, did you watch?
Yes.
You and I both looked at each other at the exact same moment.
Watching that trailer?
That JonBenet docu-series... trailer.
We have to watch it together. Yes. I insist you watch it.
Can I tell you something?
What?
A magazine wants us to do a recap every night of it.
Is it White Power Magazine?
Huh. Yeah, they want to blame it on
how much
they
gonna pay us.
I know, money. I think real money.
Oh, then yes, that's awesome.
I know. The trailer gave me freaking chills.
Okay, we watched the trailer at work today.
Oh my God.
I love the people I work with because they're super into shit like this too. And when it got to the part, trailer spoiler, when it got to the part where they have reconstructed the Ramsey's house.
The room by room recreated.
Down to the detail of shit that was like leaning against the walls.
Life changing.
These people are going, these investigators, these very qualified people.
From all walks of criminal.
Forensicness.
Criminality. Criminality.
They're going to be able to walk through and talk about and restage things that happened.
Do you think they'll come to a conclusion? It clearly, in the trailer, you can tell that they're like, yeah, this is not an outside job, motherfuckers.
I mean, that's what they're leading you to believe.
That's true, but. And then like, when they played the, when she hung up the phone and you can hear her in the background.
Yes.
I still don't hear it. Do you? Have you listened to that?
You mean when they say like they reduced all the sound and everything?
And they hear her say, I'm not talking to you.
Yes.
I still don't hear it. Do you?
No, but I feel like that's almost like one of those ghost investigation things where they're like, do you hear it? And then they put the subtitles and you're like, I guess I hear it. If you want me to hear it, I'll hear it.
Totally.
I'll hear whatever you want.
Yeah.
My thing was, cause everybody at my job, everybody pointed out like the thing that freaked them out or that they liked the most. And mine was that when Patsy Ramsey said, I love that child, she did it with her eyes closed.
That was the creepiest part, is both of them speaking was so fucking eerie.
Yeah. And two cameras. Like basically clearly some lawyer said you have to go out there and tell these people you didn't kill your daughter and you have to make a statement. And when Patsy Ramsey said I didn't kill my daughter and then she closes her eyes and goes I love that child and then they stay closed, like to me that I just love those, like that means something. I don't know what it
also
means.
Saying that child means something
because it's like she's not saying my daughter JonBenet.
Yeah,
it's she's like not that child.
Yeah,
she's I love like that child.
She can't take ownership of the thing.
Remember, did you ever watch the show Lie to Me with Tim Roth, where it was all about the person that read micro expressions and it was like a whole company?
No. Oh, I know someone who worked on it that I dated, so I didn't watch it.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, because you're mad.
No, he was very nice.
Oh, well.
I don't want to step on his toe.
I just love that show because that kind of stuff of like being able to interpret what people are really doing underneath how they mask.
When they point it out and they're like, would they like pause it and be like, this thing right here and that thing. Oh, I love that.
Yeah, yeah. You should watch that show. It's pretty good. I don't know if it's on anything, but.
Okay, well.
Did you catch up on the night of? We've only got one episode left.
I gotta say.
You're out?
Everyone telling me about stuff about it and talking to other people about it has made me want to watch it less.
You're so fucking punk rock, Georgia. I swear to God, you're just like.
Are you being mean right now?
No. I mean it in that way of like, you're just like, you know what? I don't have to like it if you like it. It's a good way to be. I respect you. It. But I think that's what it is, where you're like, does everybody like it? Then everybody can fuck
well,
off.
Well, what everyone's telling me about it, thank you. That actually means a lot to me. But what everyone's telling me about it is like, I don't care about the prison stuff. I want the trial stuff. And yes. From what everyone, someone said to me, someone was like, and I'm not going to take responsibility, but I don't remember who said it, was like, listen, I watched Orange is the New Black. I don't need to know what's going on in prison. Like, I was like, that's, so did I.
Totally the same.
It's totally the same. I just like, I want to know the way that they find out how the investigation goes, how the trial goes. Stuff in prison, I don't care about.
Right. You know what? I feel the same way because I find, and this is going to blow your mind. I find prison to be really depressing. So I don't want to know.
What's like, wrong with you?
I fear going there.
Who hurt you as a child?
I don't.
A prisoner.
It was a warden. Yeah, I don't. Like, I know it's living hell, yeah. And there are many, many people in this country that are there.
Yeah.
And that's awful to me.
Especially people are there that, like, it was really hard for me to watch him get taken in to get, yes. What's it called when you get processed in?
Yeah.
Because it's like, no one gives a shit about you. And
you
like,
immediately are just trash.
Yeah.
It's
like, the way, you know, when you wait in line at a post office and you get to the next teller and you can tell they've had a hard day and they fucking hate everything. So you can smile and be like, hi, and be nice. And so yeah. They'll give you a better experience and be happy.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do that in prison. What am I supposed to do? No. I didn't learn to be polite for nothing.
I know. It's like, I mean, and it is like, we talk a lot. We talk a big game about like, send them away for it. Because we talk about these specific stories where people cut off 15-year-old girls' arms and leave them to die. And these horrible cases. And of course, you want Larry Singleton to disappear from the planet. But the reality of a human being in a prison is a nightmare. And like, and so I'm not saying... I'm not a hypocrite or that I can't rectify those two things, but it's, watching it. What I love in that show is that they're laying in, it's just really good writing. Yeah. And I really like to watch good writing. It makes me feel smart. And again, I'll say it for the millionth time. Riz Ahmed.
Oh my God.
I don't.
Someone made a, I want his DNA inside me. A couple people made it. Someone made a Valentine last week. I said,
your serial killer Valentine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said, I want his DNA inside me, meaning I want to have his baby because he's so cute that I want like that. But it just didn't sound like that.
No, it's literally the most not cute kind of disgusting thing, but that's not what you meant.
Okay. You know what I don't like about, I don't like innocent people in prison people like Larry Singleton deserve to be in prison. Good. Have a fucking horrible time. But it's innocent people. Oh my God. That terrifies me.
It's horrible. And it happens. And we all know what happens. And it's incredibly stressful. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
But I like it. It's, to me, it's worth the stress. And there's things that are happening that are exciting.
I won't not try it. It does disappoint me. I mean, I don't know what happened. Maybe I'll watch the last episode. Is that okay? Can I do that?
Hey, it's your life. Jump in, jump out. I don't know.
Yeah. Can they please bring the family back on ABC? That's all I ask.
Is that all you want this Christmas?
That's all I want for Hanukkah Christmas.
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound... means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use, and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Craft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all Made In, Made In.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's madeincookware.com. Goodbye.
All right. I think that's it, right?
That's are you in? Gotta be
is
it.
There anything you need to
I got
about?
Nothing.
Yeah. Is this, are we now 45 minutes in?
Basically.
I'm first this week, right?
Okay. Go. Tell me.
I think
me.
I am.
Mine is short too. So take your time.
Okay. mine is, I wish I had 4 months to research this, because the first time I heard of this murder, I thought, oh, who cares? Not about the people, but that's not my style.
Yeah, I get that.
As we've said a million times, but like Silence of the Lambs is my ideal murder everything situation.
Sure.
You've got a weird serial killer that's got an MO and a whole
fetish
plan and a creepiness. Yeah.
And a like plan. Has always been this crazy way. It's not like he's.
It's not a one-off. It's not a crime of passion. It's not whatever. I find that extreme criminal mind thing fascinating.
Okay.
So when I first heard about this crime, I was like, oh, that's not my thing at all. It kept coming back. Like I would see it every once in a while looking for other stuff. And then I finally started looking into it, and it is so fascinating. All right. So it's the Lululemon murder.
Oh, yes.
In Bethesda, Maryland.
That is fascinating. I didn't know that.
I know.
That
right?
is definitely not one that I would have looked into.
Okay.
I'm excited.
Me too. Thanks.
Yeah.
So I first heard of it, I think it was like a year ago or something. I was doing Tig Notaro has a comedy festival every year called the Benson Ball in DC, which is where she's from. And so whoever was driving us to the theater that night, we drove down this street and we passed a Lululemon. I don't think it was the one we were driving by, because Bethesda, I believe, is north of Washington, DC. But he brought it up and told the story.
Love him.
And he basically just said, oh, did you hear about that really terrible crime that happened at Lululemon? It was really bad, you know, and it was basically one of the employees killed another one. And so I was just like, you know what? I know. Now we're talking yoga pants. We're talking karma passion. I'm not interested in any of this.
For anyone listening and doesn't know, Lululemon is a fucking high-end kind of, when I see girls wearing yoga pants with Lululemon, I'm like, oh, you spent a lot of money on yoga pants and didn't buy them at Rite Aid.
Yeah.
Like, you're better than me.
Crazy expensive.
Right.
Like, they're almost, it's like Louis Vuitton of yoga pants,
yes.
Which is a hilarious paradox of this is yoga.
Yeah. And they have like the logo out so you can see them.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Instead of hiding your shame, they put it out there.
Right. So, when I first Googled this, a couple Huffington Post articles came up, and one that I really liked is by a girl named, believe it or not, Elizabeth Licorice. And great. That's
oh my
a
God,
great
she
stage name.
Wins.
Yeah. And she's
amazing.
She's all red and her skin is twisted.
Uh-huh.
No. Cancel it. Stephen, mark
delete
it.
Delete that.
Stephen, mark that concept. Oh, okay. So she wrote an article called Lululemon's Cult Culture, Get Fit or Die Trying.
Ooh.
So this girl started working at Lululemon That's how you pronounce it, right?
Lululemon?
Yeah.
I don't give a fucking shit. Okay, great. It sounds right.
It's how it's spelled, and that's what I assumed. And then Lululemon. Lululemon?
I think it's Lululemon.
But there's an extra... Lululemon would be... There's too many Lus.
All right.
Whatever. So I think it's Lululemon.
Let's call it...
Let's not give a shit.
Okay.
All right. So...
I think you're right. I think you're right.
It has... This girl worked there. And so she's talking about what a creepy, culture this business has, which is very funny because, like, when I worked at the Gap in the 90s and I only worked there for a year, I really hated it. But it is this thing where they want you as a person that's getting paid shit and mostly working part time so they don't have to give you full time benefits and all that stuff. But they still want you to really dig
care
into
about
this, like,
it.
The culture, the retail culture of like, and if you sell this, you'll get this and we have to get our numbers up here.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Don Fisher, the owner at the time, was making like billions of dollars.
Fuck you.
So
I hate that.
It's so I can see where that was in the 90s. It's now, you know, 20 years later and they have refined this concept. So it's like branding and marketing and, you know, lifestyle choices and it's all that kind
of
stuff.
I bet it's the kind of thing where they don't call you an employee. They call you like the team member or whatever the fuck.
The thigh master. So this girl, this girl worked there and talked about that. She said, Lululemon wants you to know it's elevating the world from mediocrity to greatness and creating components for people to live long, healthy, and fun lives. Mm-hmm. But if you dig deeper, you find about...
Yeah, you can't do that in fucking pants you bought at Target. Come on, man.
No. God. No, you have to get really superficial to rise above mediocrity. Yeah. But if you dig deeper, you'll learn about Landmark Forum.
No, they don't.
Yes. Which is the ultra secretive, eerily cultish educational series, which Lululemon employees are strongly encouraged to attend.
Shut up.
Yes. Now I have a friend who did Landmark Forum and is like, I believe in it. I think it's great. And I said, yeah, but isn't it a crazy pyramid scheme where you basically have to bring people in and you spend thousands of dollars? And he goes, yeah, but I just didn't do that. Like I got what I wanted and I left. And I'm like, well, you're a strong willed person.
Yeah.
But I think it's one of those things that like, it's like est or anything that just, it makes money off of people kind of going, this is the answer to my life. And then trying to get everyone they know into it. So,
it makes me sad.
So they encourage their employees to go to the Landmark Forum, which is bizarre to me.
It's so bizarre.
and before you're in line for Landmark, you're bombarded with Brian Tracy motivational CDs and a book club that culminates with Atlas Shrugged.
Oh shit.
So it's not, it's
so culty.
It's like get that money and get yours and empowerment, but in this weird culty way, which also it's like, this is your job. This is your retail job.
Yeah.
She said all of it made walking into work feel like, she was time traveling to Salem because with the Lululemon creed and catechism comes a collective mentality that thrives on scapegoats and leaves you feeling worthless if you subsist on anything but spring water and kale. Once another employee sneered at me from across the floor, and said the soda I happened to be enjoying would rot me from the inside out. Eventually we were all issued reusable acrylic cups and forbidden to drink anything but water.
Oh my God. Stop it.
So this is, I'm just trying to paint a little bit of a picture, and I really encourage if you're slightly interested in this to look up these articles because it's pretty fascinating how many directions that goes in of,
That sounds like a fun read.
Yeah. Well, and just the intensity of a retail job.
It bums me out so much to think that what people expect from you when they're not willing to give you any respect at all or.
Right. And when you work there, everything about you is inventoried and measured in terms of authenticity and integrity, which sounds reasonable until you realize your yoga mat's on a sweaty, slippery slope that missing your extra, I'm still reading the article, missing your extracurricular kickboxing class, taking too long to pee during your break or failing to throw a kitchen party. And then she says in parentheses, don't ask
what,
in the fitting room means you're deficient in character and devoid of morals.
What's a kitchen party? I'm gonna ask.
We have to find out.
Fuck.
But it's like, I think it's in, you know, it's secret in-house language.
Yeah.
Those girls happen to just be older, sportier versions of seriously cutthroat sorority sisters.
Wow.
So that's one person's take about what it felt like to work there. So what's kind of to go along with that, this company's had a lot of controversy since they started. It's a Canadian company. They opened in, in 2002 to mark the opening of their second store in Vancouver. They offered a free outfit to anyone who would stand naked on the street for 30 seconds.
Are you fucking, how about for people who can't afford them and are homeless, you fucking assholes.
But like also, so it's a store that's mostly women's clothing.
Yeah.
And you're basically trying to get ladies to stand around naked. So you give them their $140 yoga pants.
That's like, so sad. You're asking them to exploit themselves.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That same owner, I can't find his name right now. He, in an interview with the National Post Business Magazine, which sounds very Canadian to me, but I'm not sure. He said he purposely named it Lululemon with lots of L's because, quote, it's funny to watch Japanese people try to say it. He also once blogged that breast cancer, quote, came into prominence in the 1990s due to all the cigarette smoking power women who were on the pill and taking on the stress previously left to men in their working world.
I am going to Lulu murder you, you piece of shit.
That guy's name is Chip Wilson. And of course, later on, everybody heard about the, I think it was 2011. Oh, no, sorry, 2013. They had to recall their line of Luan yoga pants because they were see-through.
I remember that.
They were see-through.
I've seen girls' G-strings from behind in yoga before.
And then that same CEO, when he was interviewed on Bloomberg TV about it, he was asked what the nature of the pants recall was. He said, quite frankly, some women's bodies just don't work for it. It's more about the rubbing through the thighs, how much pressure there is over a period of time.
You fucking dick.
So he's basically saying, if you're not emaciated, you can't wear our yoga pants. And if you do, it's your fault.
Yeah.
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 So he's a superstar. After he said that, of course, he was asked to step down from being the CEO because it's, you know, at the time it was 2013. So I'm sorry, sir, that it's not 1945 anymore. Yeah. You can take that shit elsewhere.
Yeah.
In 2007, they had a line of clothing called Vita SEA, which the company said was made from seaweed fiber. And according to the tags, they said it released marine amino acids, minerals, and vitamins into the skin upon contact with moisture.
Did it stink?
Reducing stress and providing anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, hydrating, and detoxifying benefits.
Bullshit.
So the New York Times, that's exactly right. Uh-huh. The New York Times commissioned a laboratory test.
Yay!
Of a shirt made from Vita C, and there was no significant difference in mineral levels between the Vita C fabric and a plain cotton t-shirt. In other words, the labs found no evidence of seaweed in the Lululemon clothing at all.
To do that,
we're not done. In 2008, a mother and daughter found a hidden message in the shopping bag underneath a layer of inspirational quotes such as "friends are more important than money." There was a second note that said, "quote some brief or quick fix instance
in." Whoa! Start over.
Some brief or quick fix incidences when our minds are clear to be creative are when drunk or stoned or just after an orgasm.
What does that mean? Okay. So they're promoting being drunk or stoned or orgasm.
Or having an orgasm so that you can be creative.
How did they hide that?
This is inside a yoga pants bag. So they had this, it turned out that they had printed this up initially. People saw it and were like, what the fuck are you doing here? Well, the other quotes were, the athlete's high is the most long lasting as it can last up to 6 hours. And there's a little difference between addicts and fanatic athletes. Both are continually searching for a way to remain in a creative state. So it was all this weird. They were very pro drugs and sex. And then a couple people got the bags and were like, what's wrong with you guys? This is a yoga pants store.
Yeah.
So they took the bags and just sewed over them with friendship is more important than money. But all you had to do was wash the bag a couple times, and then the other label came out.
Oh, I bet those are worth some money on eBay.
It's pretty hilarious. And also creepy. Like, you're getting so these creepy, weird messages. Anyway.
Yeah.
And they just, the answer back when that happened was not an apology. They were basically like, we're about speaking our mind. We're about, living in this, having new ideas and new experiences. And they basically were like, yeah, we do what we want. We're trying to inspire people. So.
Oh my God.
So.
How did they get there? Yeah. I have, yeah. Go on.
Just how you're saying?
How?
Yeah.
But also good for them, but don't shop there. Like, I don't, they can do that. It's fine.
You can do that. Like, here's the thing. Yoga is a practice that's about connecting to yourself and connecting, you know, having a body-mind connection mm-hmm. so that you are more in yourself and calmer, more normal. It's not about spending money.
Yeah,
it's not about being better than your sorority sister.
But to get a mantra for transcendental meditation is fucking $3,000. Like, how do they...
Well, no, that's based on how much money you make. But, I mean, I'm not defending it because it costs money. But what I'm saying is this is a store that's creating that culture yeah. of you will spend money always and you will spend money on bullshit because we're going to lie straight to your face and yeah. say that our clothes are made of detoxifying oh my God.
That's
seaweed.
Insane. That's insane.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So anyway, okay. That's just a little background. All right. Okay. So the worst thing that happened to them, of course, was in 2011, on the morning of March 12th, an employee entered their store, the Bethesda, Maryland store, and she actually went in, she heard something inside, I think it said, and so she went and got a guy off the street and said, you have to go in there and check, I'm supposed to open this store, and there's weird noises, and the guy walked in to, like, a bloody scene. And it turned out that Brittany Norwood and Jana Murray were lying in the store. Jana was dead and Brittany was tied up, bound hands and feet. Jana had a rope around her neck and hammer knife wounds to her head.
Holy shit.
And she had been repeatedly struck with a metal stand. Later on, the medical examiner found out she had 330 distinct wounds on her body.
Oh my God.
330.
God, how long would that take to hit yeah. someone 330 times?
And how much rage and how personal?
That's like 10 minutes of hitting.
It's insane overkill.
Yeah.
So when the cop touched Brittany, she flinched. And then she tells the story that the night before they closed the shop and then she'd gone to, I'm saying Jana, but I think it's Jana. Did mm-hmm. I say Jana?
Yeah,
I think it's yeah. Jana. So she had gone to Jana and said, I need to go back in. I forgot something. And when they went back in, two masked attackers came, like, stormed into the store. Whoops. Stormed the store and with guns and attacked them. And Brittany said, raped them and tied them up and killed Jana and left her for dead.
Had she been hit at all or hurt
yeah,
at all?
Yeah, she had injuries too.
Okay.
And her pants were slit at the crotch. It all looked very bad.
Mm-hmm.
So
looked.
It all very looked well. Very bad.
Okay.
So, sorry, I have to scroll down on my dumb thing. So, of course, panic set off because this is apparently a super high end area. Mm-hmm. Like, because that's how those stores are always oh, in, totally. Like, really. So people are freaking out. Like, there's no violent crime in that area at all. Immediately, the cops are set up a manhunt. There's a $150,000 reward for anyone with information leading to an arrest. It's, like, big and huge. And they start talking to people around the neighborhood and they talk to these employees at the Apple store, which was right next door. And these employees say that, yes, they heard two women arguing and yelling and some weird thumping and fighting noises the night before, but they never called 911.
How do you...
Mm-mm. They didn't get asked that question in court, which, of course, because it's like, ultimately, it's not about them and what they did or didn't do.
Yeah.
Aside from... I'm sure they struggle with it
because yeah,
it's hideous,
definitely.
But, yeah, they didn't. And then somebody included in one of these articles that I read, it was this really awesome thing about, how when you have a phone or a computer or something that distracts you, you are like some percentage, I won't make up and I'll just be honest that I don't know it, but so, like a very high percentage, less likely to get involved with anything happening around you.
Wow.
So they're in an Apple store. So yeah, it's probably like weird noise, could go back to playing Yahtzee with friends or whatever on your phone.
I don't know if I would, like, how would you get involved? It just so depends on the situation.
If you,
you can't expect people to be being, you know, getting murdered.
No.
If you hear a fight, you're not like, I'm going to go make sure no one's getting murdered.
No, not at all. And especially in that area.
Yeah.
No, it's a weird thing. I'm sure they had never had any experience like that.
No.
And that's not, they probably were like, oh no, those girls are fighting next door at the end. That's totally what they thought. It's just unfortunate because even just a call to say, maybe you should just go check. It's that thing of like, people aren't willing to just risk being wrong, which is sad.
Or not being able to read a situation correctly.
I mean, the way a couple of these articles talked about it, there was like extended thumping and fight sounds. And
you should have checked that out.
At one point, they heard a woman scream, "Oh, please, God, help me!"
What the? Okay, no, you should have fucking gone over there.
I guess I buried the lead on that one. I should have brought that up earlier.
Oh my God! All right, so go on.
Yeah. So that's crazy. Even if you're not sure, you roll the dice. Okay, so. From that, they realize that these employees only heard two women the entire time. They don't hear anything about men's voices. They don't hear anything else. So they're suspicious. Also, there's this really awesome statistic I found that I know the exact number for. According to the Bureau of the Justice of Statistics. Mm-mm. No. According to the Bureau of Justice Statistics, only 15% of homicides are committed by someone who doesn't know the victim.
15%? 15%. That's crazy.
So, in some ways, relax.
Right.
Because it's very, very
Except
small.
Don't, because your fucking family's going to murder you.
It's going to be your husband with that milkshake.
I wonder if that's the reason why we're so fascinated with stranger murders.
What? The cord?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I think are you hitting it with her? You're like, okay. I wonder if that's why we're so fascinated about stranger murders, is because they're so rare.
Yes.
And so they sound like there are a lot more of them, but in actuality, it's not.
Yeah, everyone talks about the ones that happen because they're so crazy and weird.
So it seems like they're more likely. That's really interesting.
Yeah. So the cops know this. I mean, the cops, they say that all the time on like 2020 or whatever, where it's like you always look to the husband, the wife, the friends, the people that they know. So one of the big breaks in the case was that they looked in Jana's car. And
Jane is the murder victim?
She's the victim.
Okay.
So they process her car and they find Brittany's DNA in the car. Mm-mm. And then they ask Brittany, "Have you ever been in Jana's car?" And she said no.
That, man, I love when they fucking trap someone like that. Or if you had just said yes,
right,
you would not have been a suspect.
But they never do, because they were in the car, so they're trying to cover. They think that lie is going to get them out.
Yeah.
That's the greatest.
I love that.
So, also, they realized they had all the tests processed, and Brittany had said that they were both raped by these masked men. But when the tests came back, there was no sign of rape
on either of them.
There was no, evidence of it. Yeah, there was all of the normal things that they find.
No
were
penetration,
not there
no
on either of them.
Okay,
and also, her wounds were few and superficial.
Right. Yeah. And if you're going to hit someone 300 something times and the other person just gets a little. No.
Yeah, that's crazy amounts. Yeah. And also, because then that's like, there's some crime of passion taking place.
Yeah.
So
there is an intended victim here.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And also, then they realize they start studying the angles of the wounds, clearly self-inflicted, and she tied herself up. It was all, they start looking back on it staged.
Yeah.
Now in the blood, there were two shoe prints. Jana's shoe prints were not in the blood. Brittany's shoe prints were in the blood, and a size 14 man's shoe, men's shoes were in the blood. So not two, like
so she grabbed
said,
some shoes off the fucking shelf.
That's exactly right.
Son of a bitch.
And walked around through as if a man was walking through.
What an idiot that she didn't grab both the fucking Oh, because it's like the display pair.
Right.
Oh my God.
So
it's like brilliant and so stupid at the same time.
Well, it's that thing of like, you can't cover up a murder.
You can't.
You just can't.
You're not as smart as you think you are.
You can't. And also, cops have seen it a million times. Like, they know what they're looking at and what looks weird and what doesn't. So ultimately, they basically get her to start talking. And it turns out, 6 days after the crime actually happened, it was the same night of Jaina's memorial, they arrest Brittany Norwood for first degree murder. And so basically they figure out, that day, Brittany had been caught shoplifting a pair of yoga pants by Jaina. And that's what caused, that was the inciting incident. Obviously much more was going on, for her to get stabbed over 300 times. And they said she used 5 different weapons, all found within the store.
What's the, oh my God.
Yeah. And there was a blood trail that showed how Jaina tried to escape through the back door. And she had 107 defensive wounds.
Oh my God.
And they said that that was the most that medical examiner had ever seen on a victim.
Wow.
So this was a crazy and horrible and extended period of time where this murder happened. Now, here's the creepiest part to me is Brittany clearly just goes fucking berserk, snaps. Mm-hmm. She gets caught. Now she's out of this system. She is the worst of the worst. If you're bad for drinking Diet Coke on the floor, imagine what getting caught shoplifting would be like in that culture at that store. Also, I don't think, it was probably very easy because Brittany was black, and, I don't know what the percentages were of people who were black that worked at Lululemon, but I bet that was an element in it.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there was something that brought to the table. There was other articles that talked about how she had stalked her boyfriend. I think she was definitely maybe a borderline personality. Mm-hmm. She had definitely had some issues, whatever. But this girl viciously and insanely murders her coworker and then lays down in blood for hours until she gets discovered.
Crazy.
In the same room as a dead body. I mean, that's the creepy level of that. Oh, and also she went and moved because when she called Jaina back to let her back into the store, Jaina was double parked, so she had to go get into her car, and she went and parked it down like a couple blocks away, and that's how they got that DNA of hers in there. So essentially, she had 10 hours to stage and plan this crime and figure it all out. So anyway, she was convicted in an hour.
Oh my God.
They tried to say that she was insane, and they were like, no, sorry, this was insanely premeditated.
Yeah.
I mean, that's bad phrasing. This was very premeditated, and obviously
she tried to cover it up, so she knew it was
wrong. Yes, exactly. And I guess, she got a life sentence and with no possibility of parole. So it turned out that the Lululemon murder was much more fascinating than I could ever imagine it to be.
Yeah. I thought she just like went in there and shot her. Like, I didn't even know any of the details.
No, it was grisly as hell.
Yeah.
And just that the element, like the pressure-y sales sorority sister element of it is fascinating to me. There's a guy that wrote a book. His name's David Morse, and it's called this is going to be wrong. I want to say it's called the Yoga Pants Murder, but that's not going to be right. The Yoga Store Murder.
There we go.
So close.
Ooh, are there crime scene photos?
I'm sure there are. But
I want to see them without the body, so I'm not that fucked up.
They wanted to show the crime scene photos when they were trying to pick the jury. And I guess that doesn't really make sense. But they were basically trying to introduce these photos, and like the defense fought it because they're so awful. Her skull was cracked. Her spine was severed.
Oh, I don't want to see that.
I mean, it's terrible. I mean, you know, she was stabbed over 300 times.
That's insane.
It's horrifying.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So there you go. Oh, namaste.
Honey. Namaste. Namaste, Karen.
Namaste, everybody.
Should we end on an om? Well, fuck.
Why do I always remember lyrics to songs, Karen, that I haven't heard for years, but I always forget my email passwords?
I know, right? It's like our brains only want us to retain useless information, but with 1Password, that problem solved.
1Password is an award-winning password manager that's trusted by families and large-scale companies alike.
If you're tired of being the person that everyone texts for a streaming login, hand that honor to 1Password. They let you share logins with people and with groups.
With 1Password, you can securely switch between any device type or operating system. That means if you're a family or business that uses both Mac and PC, you won't have trouble sharing your private data.
Don't let the name fool you. 1Password does more than just store passwords. It can autofill usernames, payment details, and personal information. And they notify you about potential data breaches.
For business operations, 1Password has a dedicated support team that will integrate its security tools into your existing workflow.
1Password saves everyone time. And we all know that time saved equals money saved. Your accounting department will thank you.
Don't just listen to us. 1Password was named Wirecutter's best password manager. And companies like Salesforce and IBM trust 1Password to secure their most sensitive information. So you can too.
Right now, our listeners get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/MFM.
That's 2 free weeks at 1Password.com/MFM.
1Password.com/MFM.
Goodbye.
Ready for mine?
Yeah.
Okay. Mine is about the tent girl and the dough network.
What?
Do you know those?
Dough as in deer?
No, D-O-E as in like Jane Doe.
Oh.
Like a dead body, a female dead body. Oh my God, I had to.
You did it.
Did it. All right. So on May 17th, 1968, a well digger named Wilbur Riddle was killing time between jobs, picking up glass insulators on a dirt road. It was just outside Lexington, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. So he's scavenging.
Sure.
He comes across a large green tarpaulin, and that was commonly used by carnival workers to store the big, like, big top tents in. And inside, he finds the new decomposing body of a young woman. She appeared to be in her teens, and she had been dead for months.
Ugh.
They couldn't figure out her exact cause of death, but it was thought that she'd been knocked out with a blow to the head and then tied up inside the bag to slowly suffocate. And the way they knew this is that her nails were worn down and broken.
Oh, no.
As if she had been trying to escape.
Nightmare.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't be identified and became known as the Tent Girl.
Sorry, is 68, you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
It became a local legend, and her grave had a headstone that they had put a sketch of what the police had sketched she might have looked like. And it said, Tent Girl, found May 17th, 1968 on U.S. Highway 25 North, died about April, like all these weird statistics about her, unidentified.
Huh.
So it was a place where local teens would visit to cause trouble and to scare each other. And like on Halloween, at night, you had to go touch the gravestone and run away and stuff. And so a couple decades later, there's a teenager who moves into town named Todd Matthews. And he hears about the story of Tent Girl by a girl he's got a crush on. 9 months later, he and this girl get married. And it turns out her name is Lori Riddle. Her father was Wilbur Riddle, who found Tent Girl.
Ooh.
So Todd Matthews becomes obsessed with the case. And for decades, he's determined to find out the true identity of Tent Girl. Todd's 2 siblings had died at birth,
mm-hmm.
and it really stuck with him. And so he says that he felt like Tent Girl had become his sibling until he could find her real family. Just so fucking sweet. I might cry. So when the internet's created, he saves up enough money for, he like works low income jobs, saves up enough money to buy a computer, and then he trolls chat rooms and search engines and missing personal listings searching for details that match Tent Girl. And he creates a website devoted to finding her identity. And this is before any of the, like, web sleuthing shit is going on. Like, mm-hmm. in his mind, he's just going to email as many people as possible till he finds out who this missing person is. So, cut to the night, January 1998. And Todd has been online for hours looking at random stuff when he comes across a classified ad from a woman who's searching for her missing 24-year-old sister, Barbara Ann Hackman Taylor. Todd sees the three words, Lexington, 1967, missing, and he knows it's her immediately. So in December 1967, 24-year-old Barbara Ann Hackman was a mother and a waitress. She had married young and then mysteriously disappeared. And they thought it was a teenager originally when they found the body, but she's actually 24, which is just another reason, like, why you cops, like, it wouldn't have taken someone amateur to find this person, because you're looking for a teenager. You're not going to find someone with totally different statistics.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. They won't fall into that category right. for you.
So Matthews arranges to have Tent Girl's body exhumed. And in April 1998, DNA tests prove that Barbara Ann Hackman is Tent Girl.
Wow.
I know. The family chooses to have Barbara's remains kept in the original spot with the original headstone. They just added a little stone underneath with her real name, nickname, date of birth, presumed date of death, and the inscription living mother, grandmother, and sister.
Oh,
I know.
Wait, she was a grandmother at 24?
No, I think she had her babe, her daughter, and she's a grandmother.
Got it.
Yeah. So, all right.
That was really stupid. Sorry.
No, I get it. I love you for it. I totally get it. It sounds like I thought that Ku Klux Klan net robes were made out of silk earlier when you said it. So we're good.
You never know. I don't really. I can't say if they are.
I'm going to go ahead and say absolutely fucking not.
Yeah, probably not.
No. All right. So he died before Tent Girl was identified, but Barbara's husband, George Earl Taylor, never filed a missing persons report, and he told Barbara's family that she had left him for another man.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. All right. So you know how she was fucking found in a tarpaulin? Am I saying that right? That was commonly used by carnival workers to store big tents. Guess what George's job was?
He was an accountant. Was he an accountant?
No.
Did he work at REI?
Carnival worker. Yes. He was a carnival worker. He died of cancer in October 1987, and I hope he rots in hell.
Good.
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 Glad.
Go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself. Isn't that crazy? Like, there's nothing besides fingerprints that could have, like, made it more of a, like, here's who done it.
Yeah. I mean,
Karen? Don't question.
I won't. Keep that.
Did they like tie it back to the carnival he was working at? Did he maybe?
No, I just meant like at the time when they found her, did they take that tarpaulin or whatever it's called evidence and then go interview some carnival workers?
Right. See what local carnival was in town.
And then could that be the third season of True Detective, this story of like the carnies?
Those are
my right
questions. I was just excited that they had put that together, but gosh, I wish they had done that before he died of cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But I mean, you know.
Well, shit.
Okay.
Can I do a different story?
No.
I'm kidding. All right. So the ending of this is pretty amazing, that Todd Matthews goes on to help create the Doe Network, which I'm obsessed with. It's an online database containing thousands of profiles for unidentified does.
Shit.
Jane and John Does and baby does. And amateur sleuths try to connect unidentified bodies with missing people.
Amazing.
Like people who are like nurses and fucking janitors and all these crazy people who like are doing this for free in their free time, just sit there and try to find matching characteristics to get these people found and get them, you know, identified.
So is it like web sleuthing where anyone can do it and
yeah,
you just enter the information?
They started regulating it because I think that a lot of police were getting annoyed with all the calls they were getting. Like, I think it's this person. Yeah, I think it's that person. So there's like, for each town or each city, there's like a main person that, and it has to go through like a crazy vetting process now. So if you're like, I think this missing person is this unidentified body, they have to like, it has to be checked out by like a bunch of people who have been certified by the Doe Network to do that. But yeah, you can kind of just like, look for, it's almost like that game where you, what was the memory one where you turn over a face and you turn it back over and you have to remember where the face is.
It's called memory.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So he also co-founded NAMUS. It's, I think it's supposed to be NAMUS, but there's no E, the National Missing and Unidentified Persons System. Mm. And another thing they do is they hire, or they, people who are, who draw portraits and stuff just for free, like will take a dead body and sketch out what the face would look like, or take a missing person and sketch out what their face would look like now.
Oh.
And they all do it for free.
Wow.
It's pretty amazing. Next place where we give money for the t-shirts? I don't know.
We can discuss it.
We can. You can vote on Patreon, maybe, if Karen is cool with Ku Klux Klan, maybe getting the money.
How dare you accuse me of that?
Because she loves it. All right. So as of 2007, I couldn't find any more recent statistics. There's approximately 40,000 unidentified human remains stowed in back rooms of morgues, buried before they're identified, and buried in unmarked graves across the country.
What's that number?
40,000.
Shit.
And that's 2007. The National Crime Information Center records nearly 90,000 missing people at any given time. So 40,000 of those unmarked, unidentified people, you know, their websites list 70 successful identity resolutions that the site has assisted with.
Oh, that's nice.
36 had occurred within the first 5 years. And Tent Girl was the first case to be identified by use of the internet.
Wow.
Isn't that incredible? Todd Matthews, he just like was an obsessive compulsive with this case. And because of that, so many families have been able to find out what happened to their loved ones. And I'm so fascinated with those stories of like, she left home one day and, you know, we thought we'd hear from her again and we didn't. And we don't know if she's alive or not.
Yeah.
She might have just fucking moved on and hated her dad and, you know.
Right.
But then they're like, you know, by the side of the road, this person with this crazy tattoo is found, and why can't we identify this person? And so they put all this stuff in the thing. And
that's very cool.
Yeah. Tent Girl. There's a photo of her. It looks like a lot like the drawing. Sad, right?
Well, yeah, but it's like the tragedy that something good came out of.
I know.
It's very cool.
I know.
And also it's just nice that idea that like, yeah, that's, if you have, it's just so nice for the families, like that idea of just not knowing is so torturous.
Yeah. And I've kind of been wanting to do, I've been thinking a lot lately about like, how can I volunteer my time in some way that we're, this true crime thing we're doing. And I'm like, you know, do I go volunteer for women's shelter or something like that? And this is like, I feel like that's what these people are doing is they're like, they're not making any money. They have jobs. They don't need them. They just want to help find. It's just they're really into these crazy puzzles and piecing these things together. And they
right.
just
and
do
if
it.
You have that specific ability of like you can draw, you know, what they,
yeah.
their, a picture of what they last looked like or whatever. It's like everybody pitching in what their specific talent
yeah.
is. Yeah, that's very cool.
I like that. So mm-hmm. maybe I'll do something like that. And I can't draw, but I can look at tattoos and remember if they were found on dead bodies or not.
Do it.
I'm really good at that.
Remembering.
Mm-hmm. No. yeah.
Nice.
So that was a short one, but I thought it was important.
No, that was cool. I like that it's good information.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Totally. Do you want to read another hometown? We did a mini-sode, but should we end with a hometown?
Oh, yeah. I was just thinking, hold on really quick.
Okay. What were you thinking?
I have Guy Branum's hometown murder, and I'd forgotten.
Oh my goodness!
It's 2 minutes.
Let's listen to it. Guy Branum.
Are you ready?
I love him.
This is my friend, Guy Branum, who is a hilarious stand-up comedian. You may know him from Chelsea Lately. You may know him from... He's been in a million things. And I asked him about his hometown murder from Yuba City, California. Here's what he said.
Yuba City, California, and there was this guy named Juan Corona who was a migrant farm worker. He was like the guy who coordinated migrant farm workers for the farmers. And he had this brother who was gay who had a Mexican restaurant. And like the first thing that happened was there was a dude in a bathroom at the brother's Mexican restaurant. And then a dude like came out of nowhere and like macheted him. And it was like a thing. And there was a lawsuit about that. And then the brother like lost his restaurant. And like that was like an isolated thing. But then Juan Corona started, it basically just comes down to he would get migrant farm workers and then he would take them to an orchard and he would basically say, have sex with me. He like he would pull out a machete and then he would force them to have sex with him and then he would bury them in a shallow grave. And they found like 17 dudes, but because all of these guys were migrant farm workers, most of them were undocumented. Like, most of the good information, like, the people whose names they know are the couple of white dudes that he did it to. He mostly just ended up doing it to Mexican guys. But, and they, like, found a bunch of, like, butcher receipts and stuff from, like, that would be from his pockets in the shallow graves. And Juan Corona insists that it was his gay brother who actually did all of the murdering and then framed him and then fled to Mexico. And one time when I was like about 7, our dog showed up with what my mom insists was a human femur. And my grandpa was like, no, that's a cow's femur. But my mom was like, we both know what a cow's femur looks like.
God,
and
I never
in the background
that.
The entire time my asshole dog Frank is barking.
Is that your dog?
Yep.
Oh, what a dick. That's why I record in my hot, sweaty apartment.
Yeah. Isn't that so creepy? Like that you're so trapped if you were a migrant farm worker, yes. Undocumented. Clearly you can't go to the cops. And there is a serial killer targeting you, taking people out into orchards.
That's so sad.
It's so crazy.
And then I think about those poor families back home who are like, I don't know what happened to, you know, my brother, but I'm never going to find out.
Right. That's exactly right.
Sad.
It's very sad.
Thanks, Guy. He's a swell person. I like him.
He's the best. And boy, can he dance.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Well, I guess that's it.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. Thank you so much. Can you guys, if you rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, that helps us a lot and we appreciate it. And gosh, it's nice having you guys listen in this podcast. Also, Elvis is sitting right in front of Steven's face because Steven gave him a cookie last time.
I like that you just said, gosh. Gosh, it's nice you listen, everybody.
Gee whiz. Gee whiz.
The gee willikers, everybody. Thank you.
Thanks.
And you know what? Stay sexy.
And don't get moited. Elvis, you want a cookie? Want a cookie?
Whoa. Bye.
Bye.